Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. It is the Wednesday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. Today, we're going to talk about championing and celebrating. And let's start by doing a check-in. And we do have one new member on the call today, Suzanne, so we're going to sort of welcome you by letting you not go first.
Okay.
So you can sort of get a sense of the structure of the call, and if you have any questions, just ask. We're all happy to help and support and glad to have you here. So Tammy and Sherry, let's start with y'all. Let's start with a quick check-in and take aim if you want immediately, or we can go through check-ins and then come back to taking aim, whichever you choose. Sherry, you want to start us?
I don't really, because I forget. It's been a few weeks since I've been on a call, and I don't know if I need it.
So let's start with just a quick check-in. What's going on for you? How are things? You know, bottom line, what's going on?
Got it. Okay. You know, probably as y'all do, I always feel kind of everywhere, and I do lately. And I was listening to the call from a few weeks ago before I jumped on this one, so I could catch up and refresh, and you know, are we on the right mix? My son's doing more picking at his nose, which is not great at school, and I'm sure it's happening at school. I'm seeing, you know, still more back talk and defiance. That's bothering me. Challenged with my husband's response, which that came up on the other call, is a particular husband talking how he wants, you know, his kids to do things the right way. And so, you know, I feel like it's everything right now, but and so taking aim, I could be anywhere, but
all right. Well, let's hold off on taking aim for a minute. Let's stick with you with where you are. What do you have to celebrate?
Well, this morning I noticed that my kids in the car, I was like, hey, you know what, y'all are really getting good grades. And I think I just take advantage of that. When my son gets a low grade, I notice. I'm not a tiger mom, so I don't always say anything. Most of the time I don't. But, you know, we've got that one thing that's consistent. And I know it's not easy. You know, and I take it for granted just because it's consistent that it's, well, that's just easy for them. But, you know, it's probably a challenge, too. Everything seems to be a challenge. So, you know,
so they're doing well academically in school.
Yeah. So I have that
awesome.
To celebrate.
Yay. Okay.
And I'm going to celebrate that I'm on the call today.
Absolutely. Congratulations. That sometimes is a feat in and of itself.
Yes.
Tammy, what about you? What's your check-in, or what do you want to celebrate?
I guess my check-in is that I had some kind of difficult news. I don't know if I'm going to do some deeper investigation or evaluating, but we did some social responsiveness scales with the teacher, myself, and daycare provider, and two of the three came back as being in the autism spectrum. And so I'm not quite sure what to think about that. I've already asked my primary doctor to send us referrals to some providers who are better equipped to, I think, evaluate that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been weighing on my mind a lot. Med change, which took him off stimulant, and he was completely out of control. Had to miss a day of school because it just couldn't function. So now we know he has to be on a stimulant no matter what.
Okay.
But as far as successes, you know, some mornings are always, a lot of times, very difficult. But there's been a couple days this week that have went pretty smoothly when he's had some rewards or some external motivation, and those mornings are very, very nice, and it helps me with my day. So those are good. I appreciate those.
So you've been having some good mornings, And the other celebration is you're having those good mornings in part because you've been putting systems in place to help them be good.
Yes, but I don't know if they're good systems.
Are they
healthy
working?
Ones, I'm not sure. Yes.
Okay, then let's call it a good system for the moment.
Okay, all right.
And I really mean that. Like, don't second guess, right? Unless, I mean, you know, are you feeding them donuts three meals a day and, you know, spending 12 hours on screens?
No, but there's the screen time in the morning that does motivate him. But that time is very short. Now, the afternoons are more of a struggle. So,
we're talking about mornings.
Yes.
And, you know, what I want to encourage you to do is to really look for what's working and stay there for a minute before you go to, well, but what if it's not, right? Or what if it's a problem? Or like,
I know.
You can change it. We can rinse and repeat and improve on it.
Okay.
But take the space to celebrate what's working.
Yeah,
and allow yourself
really...
to appreciate it, to revel in it, because the solutions are there in those successes for you too.
Yeah, it feels like a game changer for us, for the whole family when we have a smooth morning. Yeah.
Right. So you've had good mornings and you've had them because you put some systems in place. Are they the systems you're always going to use forever? No. But now you know you can put a system or reward system in place and you can get the benefit you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So you can rinse and repeat that. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So do you feel where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And this is not, I don't intend this to be lectury. I mean, it's really, I want you to get that you actually did something that created these better mornings. And that will have a cascading effect for the whole family. And it's okay if it's not perfect. It's better. Be with better and appreciate better.
I do. So, okay. This feels good. Okay.
Okay, good. Okay. And on the autism piece, if I can take off coaching hat and put on consulting hat for just a minute. Because I was just working with a private client this year who, like, the school and all this stuff, this kid was diagnosed with autism, and then went through all the way through the autism center to find out, no, the kid just has really intense ADD.
Yeah, that's what I think is going on with my child. He was adopted. There was lots of trauma.
You got lots of issues.
Prior to adoption. Yeah.
Right. So whether it's autism or not, and don't let autism totally freak you out, the beauty of autism is it's more remediable than ADHD in a lot of ways. A lot of parents who have kids with both will tell you they'd rather have autism than ADHD.
No kidding.
It's easier to manage.
Okay.
Sometimes. But that said, you know, do your homework, do the follow-up, but like I would say, Diane and I were talking about this today, try not to bleed before you're cut.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, because it's kind of, it's really, you know, it's kind of scary, but I've had other professionals just say, do some more digging, you know, get some more answers before you buy in.
You're in stage two. You're in information collection, right? The difference between what you do for a kid who's like right on that borderline, is you're not going to do that much different, but he's going to get more support if he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get more accommodations. He's going to get more help. And it'll be easier to get the help. So if that's
Who he is right now anyway,
it's not going to change anything.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So try not to let the label be a freak out and just know that you are back in a place of investigation where a lot of us spend a lot of time stepping into this place of, oh, time to take aim and collect more information.
Okay.
So you're collecting more information. You're in a great place to do it. There's some great resources here. Know that Jeremy has kids with both autism and ADHD.
Oh, okay.
And just ride this wave and know that, I mean, your kids are really young. You're early in the process. You're doing great.
Okay.
Okay? So just keep breathing. Keep taking care of you. You know, I often say, you don't have any decisions to make until you have all the information you need to make the decisions. Right?
That's true.
So there's really nothing for you to do but be back in exploration. And it's not the first time you've been there. You're sort of good at it by now.
Well, yeah, I've learned. I've kind of learned.
Right. Okay. So difficult news, celebrations for mornings. You're putting systems in place, and it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're back in discovery mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Good. You feeling a little better?
Yeah, actually, it helps to get on these calls and be able to just get some validation or some kind of normalization. You know, it just really helps to know that,
yep.
You know, if I'm not going in the right direction, at least then I could get some guidance.
Yeah. But you are. You really are going in the right direction. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. So, Suzanne, welcome. We like to start the call with like a check-in and a celebration, sort of where things are. You had shared with me a little while ago that you're a little overwhelmed, that your son is talking a mile a minute, and which is one of the number one complaints for like 10, 11-year-old boys. And so anything else you want to share, just sort of in a bottom line of where are you or what might you have to celebrate?
Well, I do think this week a big milestone with my son is we went to get a haircut without like a total meltdown, you know, drag him into the place to get a haircut. I don't know what changed in his head, but it has just been like one of those things I would dread every month. And finally, he just got over that hump, and now he's like, I like getting my haircut. I'm like, okay, well, that works. So that was definitely a win for me.
Congrats.
And then, thanks. The other thing I think we're struggling with him is, you know, in addition to just, you know, the talking, which I don't mind so much, but, you know, once in a while it just kind of wears on you, is just, I think we feel like he's running the household. Like we just don't know if we say something, he's just going to turn, you know, kind of turn into this, like, raging, crazy kid. So I feel like a lot of times we're tiptoeing around the stuff that, you know, he either says or does or, you know, so anyway, these are the things that I'm hoping to get out of these sessions is how to manage, you know, so that we're just not always, you know, afraid to confront him or ask him to do something because he's just going to melt down and give in to him for everything because we don't want to, you know, it's just not how I want to raise him. I mean, now I think we're just kind of worn out to the point where it's like, oh, okay, he's getting way too much screen time. I know that, but I don't know how to manage it. And I don't know how to, you know, again, how do I handle with him going up and just, you know, again, going into a tirade for an hour. And I just don't know how to manage that. So, I would
say
that's,
I used to call it walking on eggshells. Kind of,
yeah, it's exactly what we are all the time. So,
yep.
You know, we're in an okay place, you know, this week. And, again, the weather's nice for us, so it's been good. But you just never know when it's going to change. And, I just need to be better prepared. So,
great. You're in the right place. Welcome.
Okay.
So celebration is that he got a haircut without melting down. And I'm hearing the beginning of a place to take aim, but let's go to Tammy and Sherry and come back to you so you can hear the process, and then we'll check back in on you on that, okay?
Perfect.
So Tammy or Sherry, do either of you have a place you know you want to take aim?
This is Tammy. My swearing. It's out of control.
You're swearing?
Yes. And my kids tell me that I need to stop. And I know I need to stop, but I think I'm just so, like, depleted. Every time I get frustrated, I will, you know, not every time, but often.
I'm very proud of you.
I guess it's the most times when I'm depleted.
Huh? I want to say I'm proud of you for acknowledging that that's a behavior you want to change.
Oh, it is, and why I don't stop. I don't know why, but I think it's a release for
me. It is.
Me.
Well,
and
there's some research on that.
My head would pop off.
There is some research on that. It actually helps people feel better.
Well, I need to find different words.
Right. I got it. Okay. So where I hear you taking aim is you said, I need to stop swearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to challenge you to want it. Because when you come from a place of need, got to, ought to, have to, what's likely to happen?
Yeah, it'll backfire.
Yeah, you become resentful of it and you resist it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why do you want to stop swearing?
Well, here I am, the biggest hypocrite. If I hear my son, which my kids aren't swearing, which surprises me, but
yeah, right, yeah.
But if I hear him on a video game and I hear a you know bad word, or I mean, then you know I'm like, well, you need to get off of that. Well, when they hear twice as you know the worst words coming out of my mouth, so what? I mean, I need. It's all about, I think, regulating myself,
mm-hmm.
and that's really why I want to stop. I mean, if I could learn how to regulate myself better, then I think I wouldn't need to have those moments of just, you know, stir craziness.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing, regulating myself is this big Uber thing, right? That'd be really hard to take aim on.
Okay.
You can regulate myself when and get more specific, but it's sort of a big area. But stopping swearing is actually an easier place to take aim, and if you practice that and start seeing some success there, that will actually achieve the goal of self-regulating. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
if you think this is ridiculous. I saw on, I think it was a YouTube, but if you turn your palms facing the sky, you know, facing up, it's supposed to be a calming thing. And
I heard that. Yeah.
I'm going to try that.
Okay. But so that's jumping to strategy. So let's pull back to the taking aim. Because, I mean,
okay.
That's a useful one. I don't mean to dismiss it, but you want to take aim on stopping swearing when what?
When I am feeling that trigger that, like, I can feel myself getting angry about something that the kids have done or said or talked back or whatever.
So
it just
can
triggers
you be,
me
is there a time
constant.
Where you're most likely to start swearing?
Mornings or evenings.
Okay, which would you rather work on?
Probably mornings because, you know, what
a lousy way to start the
day.
What
a terrible way to send your kids off to school or daycare.
Okay. So, and I just want to go back to one other thing you said is that you want to stop swearing. It sounds like because you want to feel more self-regulated. But the other thing I heard is that you want to feel like your integrity. You want to be walking your talk, right?
I do. Yes, and I'm better. I'm better than this. You know, this is not. That's not a healthy thing.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you're going to take aim on stopping your swearing when you get angry in the mornings.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Sherry, what about you?
I feel like I get a lot of back talk lately, but honestly, it just feels so vague and big that I don't know that I can take aim on that.
Well, so is there a particular time you're likely to get back talk?
If I take away something, I either threaten or, you know, talking about maybe potentially driving over their iPads in the driveway and every electronic that we own.
Yeah, that may be a bit of an overreaction.
I just the whole thing happening, and I feel a lot of relief from it, almost as much as I would. But yeah, I may be overreacting, and so you know, it's generally around that. I'll tell you what happened this morning, and it's just you know an example. And when I go back to thinking of developmentally where he's at, I listened to a podcast last week, and it was about the Cubs coach, and just talking about him in general. But one of the things he said he does is meditate 5 days a week, and I'm like, man, I should be doing that too with the kids, you know, and have, you know, send Luke off to school in a better way. So we've tried it a few times this week, and any of you on the call can imagine how it's gone because he can't still, you know, and he doesn't want to do it anyway. So he's a little more, he's almost intentionally being aggravating, making noise, breathing heavily, you know, all the stuff he probably does at school to alienate people. And I'm getting pissed off, you know, and So, you know, I'm wanting to start out our mornings better. I'm giving the medicines earlier, and there are some days where it all just flows and it's great. And this morning, he's like, well, I am trying, and, you know, he's intentionally not crossing his legs. And he probably, you know what, but maybe he can't, and maybe I need to give that up. But then I'm pissed off, too, because I feel like this is going to make your day better. I want you to meditate on positivity.
I want you to use my structure to do what you want.
Because it makes so much sense to see how right I am, you know.
Right, exactly, because I want you to thank me for getting you the support you need, right? Okay, so there's a lot of stuff here. If you can focus in on taking aim, because I heard a couple of things. One, it started with talk back, right, or push back.
Yes.
But then I also heard something about you not overreacting. So what's the change you want to see?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm so tired of getting back talk. But I feel like the easier change is always me, you know.
Well, but you can still take aim on the back talk and see how you're going to change the – I mean, because the back talk is happening in some way in reaction to you.
Yeah.
All right. So when – so once again, when is the back talk most annoying to you? Is it when you say no? Is it when it's time to transition? Like, when is it most annoying?
Well, this morning in particular, it was when he said, I am crossing my legs, Mom. And I'm like, I can see you. I'm crossing your legs. I mean, like, so if it's a blatant lie, and, you know, I don't know if he's blatantly lying or if it's his mind just sees it differently than me. But I'm like, I can see you. If you're going to lie, do something that may have the chance of sticking. You know?
So is that really where you want to focus?
Is
getting him.
Or...
So is that back talk? Is that what that's what you mean by back talk? Because that sounds like defensiveness to me.
That could be a better description for it. And he is very defensive. And, you know, even if he's doing something legitimately, whatever I've said is wrong, he's defensive. Oh, you like talking better. And, you know, that's
so the change you want him to see is to be able to take redirection without defensiveness.
I like that.
Okay. Is there a specific time? Like one particular, is it, you know, in the mornings? Is it when it's time for homework? Can you narrow it a little bit?
I could just throw a dart and it would be either or. So let's just say evening. Because that's when my husband
start with the hardest, right?
And my husband gets more involved, and so which I can't really control, but you know things happen there too, and then it just.
So taking redirection without defensiveness in the evenings, is it related to homework, bedtime? Can you narrow it even more?
It may be related to playing basketball with my husband. You know, that's more – luckily, homework isn't a huge issue with our school, so I don't see it as often as I'm sure I would have if we had more homework. So maybe – I mean, that was one.
So when playing.
When playing, yeah.
Okay. All right, so because they do. They want to get – we were just teasing my son about this the other day, about what he was like when he was your son's age. And that he could never be wrong and he could never make a mistake and he cheated in games and, you know, and now he's 16 and we can tease him about it. But at the time, he was very defensive, right?
Yeah, and I'm not out there half the time. I know I listened to this call that I listened to previously when the guy was wanting to, maybe someone here, his husband, was wanting to teach his kid the right way. And I had so much more compassion for my husband because you know, I was listening to him thinking, oh, my God, you're just like my husband. But then also he's like, you know, I see the hurt in my kid's eyes, and I love him so much. And so I don't want to make it completely my husband because, you know, with my husband, it's basketball. With me, it's a new meditation thing I want to do in the morning. So I'm like, well, damn it, if you just do it the right way.
Okay. All right. So I want to keep watch our time. So we're going to take aim on taking or helping him take redirection without defensiveness when he's playing.
Yes.
Okay. And that could be, you know, board games or basketball or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how do we do that?
Now, hold on. Suzanne, are you ready to try to take aim on something today?
Yeah, and I'm afraid it's probably, yeah, I probably have to narrow it down a little bit because I guess, like others, our morning routine is pretty horrible. Well, especially with my son. My daughter can kind of get through it by herself, but I always call him like a college kid in a 10-year-old body because he likes to stay up late and then it just, you know, he can't unwind at night and then he doesn't get sleep and then he doesn't want to get up and it just goes downhill from there. So, you know, every single second we need in the morning to get him out the door. So I don't know. I need to just find some way to, even break it down.
What's the one thing you'd like
to
see changed that would improve the morning? One thing.
Oh, geez. Where would I even? I think just getting him, you know, out of bed and down the stairs. Usually once I get him downstairs, it's like I can kind of cruise from there.
Is it out of bed or down the stairs?
Okay, out of bed. I think I would even start with that.
Yep, that's great. Now, I know that sounds really very narrow, but that's the way to take aim. Because if you're trying to focus on getting out of bed, is it out of bed when the alarm goes off? Is it out of bed within 5 minutes of the alarm going off? Is it out of bed when I – do you know what I mean? It's like even more specific can be helpful, but we'll stop here for now and just say getting him out of bed in the morning. Okay?
Okay, perfect.
And I want to be clear, what happens in these calls is you're going to take aim, and then we're going to talk about something completely unrelated, and maybe we'll come back to this and coach around it if we have time, maybe we won't. But it will inform you to begin to think differently about it so that when you leave, you'll have some different kind of action that you may want to try or take. It's not the full solution like Sherry's like, okay, now what do I do, right? And Sherry knows I'm going to tell her she's going to go to bring it to her coaching session. but we're going to start the process and get your brain going on it, right? And it begins to sort of evolve over time. Okay? So let's switch for a second and go to championing and celebrating, right? Because that's today's topic. And it's not a new topic for any of us on one level because we know we're all supposed to be our kids' champions. And this comes out of that realm of parenting positively. When Diane and I first started Impact years ago, the very first tip we wrote was about celebration and the importance of celebration. And actually, it was a perfect example. Earlier, it was Tammy, right? You put a system in place, and then instead of stopping to celebrate and say, wow, mornings have been better, it was like, but what if I'm not using the right lever, right? What if I'm not using the right? And so part of celebration is about really allowing ourselves to stop and celebrate the small victories. Really, really look to the little things that we can acknowledge and celebrate and feel great about and help our kids feel good about. One, because we need the wins. We need them and our kids need them. Like, we get lots of negative reinforcement and we all desperately need the positive reinforcement. But another reason is because, you know, you've heard me say it, the solutions are in the successes, right? When you look to what works, you can then replicate that. You can map it out onto other things. When you see that a system works, then you can say, ooh, I can put a reward system in place for this or for that, right? Because my mornings are better now. I can see how that will work in other ways. So a big piece of celebrating is about slowing down and pausing enough to recognize when something's going well, even if it's just a little bit better. Better is better than the week before or the day before, right? And we're not going for perfection here. We're going for progress. We have kids for whom incremental change, step-by-step change, is the most profound transformation, right? And we have this tendency to want to look for the end game. And really, we need to look for the baby steps. Because that's where they feel good. That's where we feel good. That's where the successes are. And that's what builds. I was talking to somebody. I don't know if it was this group or somebody else. Have I ever talked to y'all about rock climbing? So do any of you guys rock climb, or have you ever taken your kids rock climbing?
No.
Yes.
Okay. So here's the premise to rock climbing. We think it's all in the arms, and we need to be able to have strong arms to pull ourselves up. But the truth to rock climbing is it's all in the legs. And instead of reaching high and pulling yourselves up, the trick to rock climbing is what they call spider steps, is taking tiny little steps, you know, it could be just a couple inches, but inching your way up the rock instead of pulling your way up the rock. You can pull your way up for a little bit, but you're going to get exhausted and worn out. But if you inch your way with little baby steps, you can go for like 10 times longer. And so celebration is about looking for those little baby steps and taking things little bits at a time. And Diane and I pair it with championing because championing is about it's about seeing what's possible for our kids. It's standing for them. It's being their advocates. It's not just being there telling them, you can do it, I know you can, which we want to do to some extent as long as it doesn't become anxiety-producing for them if they think they can't. But so part of it is about, you know you can do it, I believe in you, right? But the other part of championing is about sort of what I call holding the vision, creating a vision for what our kids are what's possible for them, what they have the potential for, and holding that vision so that and encouraging them to step into it, and holding that vision for the teachers and the other adults in their lives to hold to see that place that's possible for them. You know, sometimes when we get frustrated, we see what they can't do, and championing is about seeing what they could do. Even if they can't yet, to see what they will be able to, what they're capable of. It's believing in them sometimes even when they're not ready to believe in themselves. You know, I've been having a big issue with one of my kids at school because I don't believe that the school is championing him. I believe that they're trying to limit a course selection for him because they're saying, you know, his grade wasn't good enough last semester. And I'm like, but he wants this course and he wants to do it. And I want to hold the belief that he can instead of telling him, well, you can't do that. Because he wants to. And I want him to know that I believe that he can. And I'd really like it if the school did too, right? So celebrating and championing go really hand in hand. And they're really about pausing, recognizing, seeing the successes, little as they may be, and helping them build, and then creating the vision for success, holding the possibility for success, knowing that that's who these kids have the capacity and the capability to be as they step into themselves little by little. So I'm going to stop and sort of open up for a little conversation around this issue of championing and celebrating. What's coming up for you guys? What do you notice? What's hard about it? What's easy about it? Where does it work?
And now I don't have specifics here, but I feel like I need to write it down more because I'm scatterbrained myself. And I feel like there are times that I make progress and other is. And then something will happen and things will derail, and I'll feel like I'm all the way back at step one, or we're all the way back at step one. And the truth is, I know we're not, especially since I've joined this program. And I really need to, you know, I hate shooting myself because I am, and I don't want it to be, you know, I want it to be the reason, kind of the same theory you were talking about earlier, because it makes things better for me, but I've got to look at the baby steps. Because I know we're making them. Then I end up a day like, or a morning like this morning, and I'm just, my mind's all full of the difficulty and the challenges again, and I'm not seeing any progress. And I know that's
right.
Not true.
Yeah.
So it's a step I need to take. It's really, I think I need to write it down because I need to recognize those for both of us, for all of us.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we encourage people, Sherry, to take a gratitude to. Use a gratitude journal, and maybe you want to start a success journal for a week or so. And just, you know, at the end of every day, it's like, what did you do today that you felt successful about? And bring your kids into it. Let them celebrate their successes, too.
That's a great idea.
You know, Sarah Blakely talks about, she's the woman who created Spanx. And she talks about, like, the reason she feels like she was so successful is because her dad encouraged them to fail. And so his question to them at the dinner table was, what did you fail at today? And I don't think I would start with that with our kids, right? But I do think that there's an opportunity over time once you get good at teaching everybody to focus on their successes, to be able to say, what did you feel successful at today? And it could be a conversation with a teacher or a dynamic with a friend or, you know, you don't want it to always be schoolwork, right? I got an A on a test, right? It's like, ooh, do you feel successful that you studied for that test to get an A or, you know, whatever it is. So there's a piece of it that's about, you know, looking for all sorts of successes. And then over time, I think that allows you to create an environment where it's like, okay, so what didn't you feel successful at today? And to sort of normalize that, because truthfully, that's normal. We have good things and bad things every day. We all spiral forward in life. There is no straight line. Right? So there's an opportunity for you, I think, to start with a celebration, but then in the back of your mind, keep in mind that once you get good at it and it becomes comfortable, it's actually a place that allows you to make it okay for there to be mistakes as well, especially if you're celebrating really little successes. What's coming up, Sherry?
No, I like that. I like it. You know, I see the value. And lately I've been talking to my kids about, I've been just trying to work out and not make it about losing weight, although I certainly want to, but how my body feels and how firm it is. And I'll say to them, yeah, I'm proud of myself for working out today or something like that. And but it's nothing I do consistently. You know, I'm I mean, like celebrating those things, but what I'm trying to show with them is this effort that I'm doing something, and there's not specifically an end game of mine, but that I just did something good. So,
yeah,
I like the success, because we do gratitude sometimes. Again, not consistent. I feel like I'm not consistent about anything, but
hey, Sherry,
success is really different. Yeah.
What if that's okay? What if you don't have to do gratitude journal every day, but that over the course of 3 to 6 months, your kids understand that sometimes you talk about gratitude and they get the sense of gratitude? I mean, if you try to do everything every day that you're, quote, supposed to do as a parent, you would not sleep. It's not possible. It's not a reasonable expectation. And it might even lose its meaning. So, you know, over time, maybe you can then get, okay, so what should we do tonight? Should we do successes or gratitude? Right? And then they choose. And then now they've got two structures that they can use to reinforce themselves in their world. Right?
Okay.
Like, invite you to is to let go of trying to do this right. And give yourself permission to do it as well as you can in every moment, whatever that looks like for you. Okay?
That looks good. That's it.
Have you ever read the Four Agreements?
Years ago, way before I had children. I need to reread it.
It's on our site. You can go to the recommended reading on the site and get it from there through Amazon. And it's, you know, there are four agreements, Toltec wisdom, and one of them is always do your best. But the piece that's really important about it is that your best is never going to be the same. That's not always be at your best. But that your best today may not be nearly as good as it was yesterday when you were flying high, but it may be better than it is tomorrow. It's to do the best you can in that moment and give yourself permission to just know that your intention is to do the best you can. And let that be good enough. So play with that a little bit. Tammy, what's coming up for you?
Oh, I don't know. This is tough.
Tell me.
I need help. I don't know.
Okay. So we were talking about celebration and championing.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge for you is that tendency to have it not be good enough, right?
Yes.
And no matter what happens, you're always going to be looking for it, but it could be better. So
yeah.
What would it look like for you to champion yourself?
I don't. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I guess. Sometimes I just need a mind break and walk away. Just completely. I feel like this stuff is on my mind all day long, every day, all the time. Even when I'm at work, I'm distracted by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I need a mind break.
Okay. So, what do you think about that celebration journal idea?
Yeah, it's good because it's just the opposite of what I thought I should be journaling. You know, more of behaviors and problems and this and that.
Right.
You know, that's what I think I need to be monitoring. But yeah, what a nice shift in. You know, dynamics is to look at the opposite.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Here's what I want to offer to you and play with it how you will. But for some reason, because you know, you're a slightly different situation because you're a solo parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be mom to them, and to some extent, you have to be mom to yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So instead of a daily journal, what I'd like to see you do is put up like a whiteboard or a big piece of paper or something in your kitchen or near your dining table, right? And just write celebrations. And whenever you notice anything, add to it. Give the kids permission to add to it. Don't make them do it in a line or in neat handwriting, right? Just,
I'm going to need like 3 whiteboards because we tried to do something like this and the boys fought over it and were arguing about whether one of them actually did do something that they said they did, you know, and they argued about it. So that's interesting because I think it's a positive. But
I wouldn't do separate ones. I would say if we fill up one, we're going to move to another and we're all going to share because we all celebrate each other's celebrations.
Okay.
Right. And if they start fighting over, it's like, we're going to focus on the positive here. What's good? And, you know, if one starts saying, well, he didn't really, well, right now he feels like he did, and that's what's important right now. Right. Just keep redirecting without making anybody wrong. Keep redirecting to the positive, to the celebration.
Okay.
And it can be little things. Look, you got up and loaded the dishwasher when I asked you. You got up and got me a fork when I asked you. Go write it down on the celebration board. Right?
Yeah, that's good. I was planning on buying a whiteboard anyway, but
I love that. It's a great way to start.
Make sure
before you when you fill it up, take a picture of it and wipe it off and do it again. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you can enroll them. Your issue was you wanted to stop swearing. You can enroll them in supporting you with that. It's like, hey, guys, I got really angry earlier and I didn't swear. And write it down.
Mm-hmm. I like
that. Or, you know, if you bring them, Diane does a lot of work with her kids around bringing them in to hold her accountable, because she used to be a yelling mom, and she works really, really hard at not yelling. And part of the way she did that was by getting her kids into it and saying to them, hey, you know, I really want to stop, and I really need some help because I'm really struggling with this. And, you know, they were more than happy to point out to her when her tone of voice was getting. But it wasn't, Mom, you're yelling. It was, Mom, do you need a break? Mm-hmm. Right? And so they began to be part of her system of support around it.
Mm.
Right?
Sure.
So play with it a little bit. And, you know, if you ever, I don't know where you are in terms of private coaching, but at some point for that issue of sort of cursing and yelling and single momming, Diane is a great resource for you for that.
It's definitely on, in the back of my mind. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I need to make a decision.
You will when you're ready. So no stress on it. Just know that that's a place for you to do some of that work, right?
Okay.
But I think this is a great resource for you to start with, this notion of just, I think here what we're talking about is celebrating ourselves and championing ourselves and giving ourselves credit for what we are doing instead of only looking at what's not good enough. Yeah?
I think that that's good. I actually was driving to work this morning, and I had a really complicated afternoon yesterday, and I had to send my kids in different directions, and I had to go do something that always makes me nervous when I have other people watching my kids. But
yeah,
in the end, it all worked pretty smoothly, and I had to give myself a little pat on the back because
yay,
I was able to manage all that when, you know, and I realized how hard it actually was. So, and it went pretty smooth. So it is nice to actually, you know, acknowledge some things go right and some, you know, I do some things right. So
probably more than some.
Probably. I just don't acknowledge it.
Right. And did you hear the language you just said? I had to give myself a pat on the back. Right? It's almost like, but you did, you get to, right? What I want you to look for is where can I give myself a pat on the back? Because I need it and I deserve it and I've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I just
time
wish parenting wasn't so stinking hard. That's why
I know.
Jeez.
It is. I know. I wish it weren't either, but it really is.
Yeah.
You know? Suzanne, what about you? What's coming up for you in this? I know you're listening.
Yeah, and I'm a big listener anyway, so I definitely have to work on being more of a participant. So I do like the celebration board, though. That'll be good. My kids right now are just fighting so out of control that this might be a good way to, you know, kind of divert some of the negativity they have towards each other to make it into some positive stuff. So I'm going to definitely take that away. And also, my daughter, I found, has really low, I sort of feel like she has low self-esteem, and I always trying to pump her up the best I can, but, you know, I need to be better about finding the little things. She doesn't do that great grade-wise in school, so I need to even pick out, you know, little things that she does to celebrate for her so that she can get the confidence to kind of keep plugging along and, you know, keep just doing the best she can. I mean, that's usually all we ask of her, but we probably don't do it enough. And
yeah,
so definitely need to focus more in that area for her, just to make her feel better about herself. Like I can see, you know, when she gets down on herself. So
yeah, I was talking to a woman this weekend who's in New York City, and she's a psychiatric nurse practitioner, or in training to be, and she wanted to do this outdoor education program for a group of kids with ADHD. And, you know, she's the daughter of a friend of mine, and she called me and she said, can you tell me, what do I need, what's important? And it was this gardening program she wants to do. And as I sort of thought about it, I realized these are, you know, inner city at-risk kids. And I said, you know what these kids need more than anything? They need a win. They just need to feel good about something. They need to be told, you did a great job digging that hole. You did a good job putting that in the dirt. You did, like, they just need a win. And our kids need wins. And we need wins. you know. And so, yeah, we may have to mask them or make them up or look for them in the silliest places. But they're still wins, no matter how small. And they really do matter. So as we sort of close up the call, and again, Suzanne, this is sort of new for you, but we always end with the same four questions, and it's in your workbook. The workbook is an interactive workbook, so you can print it or you can do it online, right? And the questions are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? Now, I know what I was talking about, but sort of what had your attention while I was talking about it, right? And what's my clarity or takeaway from today? What's my aha? What's a realistic action step for me to take, and how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute to sort of think through your final four questions. And then let's just check in real quick one more time on what your ahas are, what your takeaways are, and any action you want to commit to. Anybody can start when you're ready.
Well, for me, I liked what you said about not going for perfection, but going for progress. And I think that's a big one for me, because I sometimes want things to be perfect and it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to start just working on the getting my son out of bed. I like that, just drilling down to the nitty gritty and just taking one little thing at a time rather than trying to focus on the whole routine. So
mm-hmm.
That's going to be what I'm going to take away.
And can I offer something there? Ask his input.
Okay.
Get curious with him. Take some time to get curious. What happens for you when the alarm, when I come in or the alarm goes off, whatever it is, what makes it easy to get out of bed? What makes it hard? Do a little curiosity seeking with him to help let him help you figure out. Many of you all have heard me tell this story, but I had a child about your son's age whose whole world, their whole family dynamic changed when the dad stopped standing at the door saying, get up, and started coming over and playing with him and tickling him awake. Changed everything. Now, that will not work for all kids, right? But if you have a kid who's a sensory seeker who needs physical touch and play, standing at the door screaming, get out of bed, is probably not going to help.
Yep.
So ask him to help you and let him be clear. We're not going to take aim on everything. We're going to take aim on this one thing.
Okay.
Okay. Who else? Ahas or commitments?
Well, I like the, celebrating even the little things and,
mm-hmm.
Maybe paying more attention to those than, kind of take an inventory of every time they do something wrong.
Yeah.
Shifting my thinking a little bit. My takeaway today is I am going to do the whiteboard, the celebrations. I think all of us can participate in that, and that will also get them to thinking about their celebrations instead of me nagging and yelling and, swearing at them. When we can all look at it and see the good things that are going on in family.
Yeah. And can I just encourage anybody, when y'all do it, somebody please take a picture and post it on the forum. Because that would be
great.
I will
try to do that. Yeah.
That'd be great. Cool. Sherry, what about you?
Well, I'm certainly going to meditate and maybe work with Luke on taking redirection without defensiveness. I'm going to try to get curious, like you say. He's definitely always so shut down with me, so this is like eggshell, trying to get him to talk without saying I'm fine or ignoring it. And I know that the difficulty is I can't ask him in the situation that's the wrong time and then finding the right time,
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep that at really the top of my list. But I like the celebration board too. Of course, my fear is I have this ADHD 11-year-old who has zero self-confidence, although he would pretend like he does, and a 9-year-old who has self-confidence out the wazoo, and I just see this being another competition between them. So I need to figure out how I want to manage that before it's up there and I have to start negotiating arguments for.
Well, and so you, for you, you may say, okay, we're going to capture 3 a day. You know, and it may just be, okay, every day let's try to capture 3 celebrations. Or it may be that you don't do it as a board. You just do it as a conversation. But part of it's going to be challenging you to look for the littlest things, right? And helping your son see the little things.
And I love that you say that because I was in a school today, an elementary school, and I'm thinking of this board that I've walked by a few times. I've been there, and it's like that. And these kids are putting up their own things, which is so different than, you know, teachers putting, you know, here are the kids who did great this week. It's generally probably a different set of students. But it made me feel good to see that. Like, these kids can go, hey, I did this, and I'm recognizing it without it having to be recognized by a teacher. So,
yeah.
I love it. I love the idea of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we teach our kids not to brag, but our kids need to learn to brag a little bit. You know,
I remember,
my daughter was like, well, but I don't want to be prideful, you know, because she got the message that you're not supposed to be prideful. Well, so she also got the message you're never allowed to celebrate anything you do well, you know, and that's not good.
No.
So there is definitely a challenging balance there, and I definitely think that part shows up more for girls than for boys. Boys seem to be better at tooting their own horns than girls do. Just sort of play with it and tweak it. You know, Sherry, as you massage it to see what's the structure that's going to work for your family. The board may not. If it doesn't, try a different way to do it, right? The goal here is to begin to have this conversation and just begin to pause and look for the celebrations. How you do it is not as important, right?
Right.
Cool.
Great.
All right.
I like it.
Everybody, have a fabulous, fabulous couple of weeks. There's a office hours call next week, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks, and we'll see you on the forum. If there's anything you need, let us know.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.